Tim, a little Monday evening magic, a little recording on a Monday. It's not even Monday. It's Tuesday. What the hell am I talking about?
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Shit. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good. I kind of wish it was Monday, though, because I feel like I had 48 hours this week to encapsulate all the week since I'm taking off tomorrow morning early for California.
Yeah.
And I've been nonstop since Monday morning about 5:30.
Funny thing is you have a whiskey. Our guest has a whiskey. I'm the only one that's not drinking, and I feel like I'm drinking. So.
A podcast, like a mandatory thing. Like you just had to,
especially an evening podcast. I should just pause this and go upstairs and get a, what do you call it? A snifter? A snifter, Tim?
Just get a cocktail.
Anyway, let's get right to it, man. We got a great guest, and it's Matt Brading. Matt! Matthew Brading.
Hey.
On Instagram, he is Texas Edge Inspect. It's at texas.edge.inspect. Matthew, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, Matt.
Man, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? Good to see y'all again.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah, we met you, bumped into you at International Builder Show on that, what was it, the Promenade?
Promenade. They're between Flamingo and the Link.
That's great.
I'm sure we had some alcohol consumed that night.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. I've asked you this before, but that was, you said, your second builder show. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. Second one. Yeah.
And can you tell our audience, what do you do there? Why were you at the show other than, you know, the building aspect of it?
Well, that's funny because the first time I went, I asked myself the same question. and it wasn't until 48 hours later that I realized what the answer was. And so, I do some work with the company Sashco, who is a company out of Colorado that makes high performance caulk and sealant. Some years back now, they reached out to me and wanted to do some work with me. And that led into me, you know, creating some content for them on social media. And, we have a program now where they, send pro packs out to, you know, any pro in the industry that wants to try out their products. And I help them with that, you know, get that link out there so people can order that free sample kit. And in doing that, I also do some other things with them. And one was the International Builder Show. They said, hey, we want you to come out here and be a guest at our booth. And I had no idea what a home inspector would be doing out at a builder show. So I just rolled with it. And as you know, that's a completely overwhelming show. I mean, like, it's huge. There's so much to see that you can't even take it all in. And then it's in Vegas, which, I mean, Vegas is just Vegas. Mm-hmm. And so, I got there and for the first day of the show, I didn't have anything to do. Second day of the show, I had the one before. I knew I had a spot at their booth. It took me the whole first day just to figure out where their booth was. And then when I found it, I was like, okay, this is where I need to be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so I did my little hour at their booth, but like the rest of the time I was just figuring out like what I was doing there. Mm-hmm. By the time I left, I kind of figured it out. I mean, there was just so much to see and so much to do, so much to learn and so many people to connect with. And so I went back kind of wishing I had done things a little bit differently. Filmed more content at some of these booths, talked to more of the vendors about some things, had more of a mission in mind, but I just didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
So then they invited me back the second year, and this time I had a couple of booth appearances with them, but I also reached out to many other vendors that wanted me to stop by their booths and you know, visit with them and whatnot. And then I made it a point to go by some specific places, film some content, and really just connect with a lot of folks such as yourselves. I just made it a point to get out there and make that happen. Ever since the first time I went to the Builder Show, I made some connections since then, and I've kind of worked on that through social media. And so when I got there this time, I wasn't just walking around by myself. I knew several folks, and it allowed me to kind of branch out and meet other new folks such as yourselves.
Yeah. So for people that don't know, Matt is a home inspector in
Houston.
Yeah, Houston area.
Greater Houston area.
That's right.
In Houston. And so when you're at a show like that, did you get a chance to walk around at all a little bit to check it out?
I did. I mean, I did nothing but walking for 3 days.
Yeah.
I did have those couple of booth appearances. Yes, there were some booths that I wanted to see, but you're talking about the show itself, right?
Yeah.
Matt, I'm curious. As a home inspector, what is your relationship with your local contractors? Do half of them love you and half of them hate you? I mean, I'm curious.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't get a lot of hate. I mean, obviously being on social media and having a large following, there's a ton of hate there, right?
Yeah.
But that's not real hate. That's just people behind a keyboard.
Yeah.
But to be quite honest with you, there's a mutual respect between myself and most of these other builders, whether it's production or custom. A lot of the custom ones, maybe not, they don't know who I am, but I mean, at this point, I got a pretty large account. So, I mean, I walk into a new construction home and there's pretty good chance that the builder is either, I've either worked for, inspected one of their homes before, or they know me from social media. And there's a guy, I did one last week where the guy walked up to introduce himself to me because he recognized me. And super nice guy. I mean, like, and he mentioned, he goes, yeah, I mean, I know there's probably some builders out there that, don't like when you come around or don't like inspectors. He goes, man, but I like your content. I like what you do. And, and we just had a mutual respect for one another. We walked around that house. I pointed out some things that I really liked of what they were doing. But I mean, like, I just feel like that relationship works so much better with, for our buyers, the people that are buying these homes. If I'm butting heads with the builder, it doesn't really, they don't exactly want to work really hard to make their client happy. But if we can get on the same page with one another, we can really work towards, giving the client a really nice product. And, I don't know, that attitude, I think, has lended itself to builders not in real life having much hate for me.
Well, one of the things we haven't asked you, how the hell did you get into home inspections and how did you start your business?
Well, a relative who's a realtor suggested it. I was kind of that guy that would always, like, you'd call me if something was broken. Because I knew how to fix stuff. I knew how to build stuff. I knew how to, I didn't have a construction background, but I had done enough, been around enough people. I was fortunate enough to be around a lot of people that were, tradesmen and things. And I'm one of those guys that just learns from every experience. I just kind of absorb all of that information. It's just stored back here for when I need it. And so I guess I was kind of wired for it, right? That I needed new work. I was doing something else completely unrelated and I needed to get out of that. I was in a dead end job. And this person, like I say, she was a realtor. She said, hey, have you ever thought about being a home inspector? I think you'd be good at it. I didn't even really know what it was. And so, I went to, check it out, and immediately, once I realized like what it was and what it was about, I was like, this is what I want to do, right? Problem was, while I had a lot of flexibility at the job I was working, I made good money and I have a family to support. And so I couldn't just get my home inspection license and stop working for this company and go straight into home inspection.
What were you doing for that company?
Well, it was like I said, it was completely unrelated. It's a van and truck rental company. At the time, I had done many things for that company, but at the time I was managing an office. I was at one point over several different offices, but we had, during 2008, they shut down a whole bunch of offices. And, I wasn't what I wanted to be, is an overseeing type manager, right? A manager of managers. But I ended up being the manager of an office. And so basically I was a babysitter and I didn't enjoy that, right? It was like, it was the job that I did to get the job I wanted. Now they took the job I wanted away. So now I had to do this, the job I didn't want again. And so, yeah. And then not to mention they, in doing that, they also took away commission. So I felt like I had nothing to work for. There's nothing to do. Yeah. I needed to do something to better myself and to have some drive, because I was just dying on the vine. I could have gone and worked for a home inspection company. I could have just quit my job and gone and worked for a home inspection company. That would have probably been smart. But for me, I kind of looked at it like I didn't really know if I was going to quit my job. So I thought, I'm just going to do this in my spare time. I'm going to do it in the weekends and when I'm off, and I'm doing it in my spare time. And I thought, well, you got two options. You can either get a license where you can open your own company, or you can get a license where you can work for somebody else. and I wasn't going to work in my spare time for somebody else. Right. So I decided I'd always kind of wanted to be a business owner. So I thought I'll just open up my own company and start that way. And I'll go as slow as I want to. And so I did.
But how do you get the phone to ring though? I mean,
yeah, well, having a couple of realtors in the family wasn't, that wasn't bad. Right.
Yeah. That was a good ally. Right.
It wasn't like there was a ton of business. I mean, part of my motivation to do this was like, hey, they can send me all kinds of business. But the truth of the matter is they don't always, they have to be representing a buyer in order to even put my name in the hat. Yeah. And they don't really want to be like, hey, use this guy because that's unethical. So even if they suggest me, that doesn't even mean the person's going to pick me.
Yeah.
And so the few and far between times that they are even representing a buyer, I may not even get the work. And so I think that was where a light bulb went off in my head where I said, okay, because I don't do anything like half-ass, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I gotta market myself to be able to get any business to make this make sense at all. Because I can't just sit here and wait for them to send me a job or I'm never going to get any work. And so while it helped to have them around, and it did, I just, you know, started marketing the hell out of myself on social media, but also just like going, you got to go to real estate offices and you pay, you know, to buy them breakfast and they'll give you 15 minutes to talk and you just got to put on the charm, you know?
And what year is this? What time frame?
2017 is when I got my license. I probably started doing the marketing stuff in about 2018.
Okay. So that was my next question. Is there, you know, licensing or certifications you have to go through to become a home inspector?
It took me about a year. I started doing that process in 2016. It wasn't until summer of 2017 when I actually got licensed. Mm-hmm. I probably could have done it in about 6 months, but I was working full time, kind of, for this other company.
The growth in the Houston area has been pretty astronomical over the last 10 years. So I'm guessing a lot of new builds or new homeowners buying homes, they need to be inspected.
Totally.
Obviously, that's a great opportunity. So what's the growth been since 2017?
It was slow. You know, getting into this industry is very slow, like, period, right? And you really got to be patient. And luckily, I had another job, so I didn't really have to worry about that.
Kind of.
I was patient because I had income. And it wasn't until this really started to take off that it was a couple of years before I decided I could kind of cut the cord with the old job and go all in. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of real estate going on out here, right? Lots of new construction. And I'm not in Houston proper. I'm north of Houston, but it's like I'm outside of the city, right? And that's where the growth is. You know, I mean, there's plenty of real estate getting moved around inner city. And trust me, there's a ton of new construction even going on down there because they're tearing down all warehouses and putting up, you know, three and four story houses and row house type stuff and all kinds of stuff going on in inner cities. I do that too. But I mean, yeah, it's just, this is a huge city, booming market, booming real estate market, and it's just out of control. So there's a lot of business to go around. So if you are willing to market the hell out of yourself out here in real estate or in home inspection, especially, you know, you can really find a lot of business.
Is the company just you now, or are you looking to expand into hiring anybody else?
It is just me now. I actually, recently my wife started to help me out with taking some appointments and things. I was just doing everything and it was just brutal. So, you know, I'd be in the field, in the attic on a roof, my phone would ring, I'd answer it. I still do that. Right. Then when I'd come home, I wouldn't just have to like finish up my reports if I had that to finish, but I also had to like sift through all the calls that I'd gotten for the day and then enter all of the inspections that I had upcoming that I had taken throughout the day. Now I just take their information and send it to her and she enters them in for me. And it is just, it's been a massive help. And it's really been an eye opener to how having someone help you can really, you know, change things for the better.
Yeah.
I have been training somebody for a little while now to come and be a second inspector. It's a slow process because he's in a job kind of like mine, my previous one, where he needs to get out of it, wants to get out of it, but he has a family to support. And so he's, we're trying to find the right game plan to get him out of that and on with me. So it's been a slow process because they're not quite as flexible as my previous job. But we're working on that. And we were talking today, and I think, he might be full time on my team, come summertime.
Does it scare you to bring somebody on like 100%. That? Like, yeah, that like you're responsible for another human being's livelihood.
Right. 100%. Now if there's one thing about me, man, like I don't run from fear, you know, like I'm not afraid of anything, and I more will just 100% confront it. And so like, yeah, am I scared of it? Absolutely. But do I know that there's a lot of benefit to it?
Yeah.
Yes. And so like although I'm scared of it, I will go like right into it, right into the fire. And so and that was, you know, I had never even, besides hiring people at my old job, like hiring people into my company, I'd never done that. Once I found this guy and decided to want to hire him, I didn't even have a process for that. Right. But I was like, okay, let me develop that, you know? And so within, you know, 48 hours, I had a process. I had it all typed out. I had contracts. I had everything. Sometimes you just need that push, you know? And I found the guy. Now I got to figure out how to do everything else.
I'm going to go off track here, Tim. I was just with my relatives over the weekend, and one was in the Marine. He was a Marine in Desert Storm in Afghanistan. And my mom was asking all these questions about fear. Were you scared? And he's like, well, you didn't really think about it when you were over there, and you're trained to go towards the action.
Yep.
And that's what he did. Every time there was a firefight, they went, it was like a moth to a flame. They went to it, you know? I don't know how that relates to what you're saying, but I know what you're saying. Like, you take fear head on, right? Like, yep. You're not going to divert from it.
Interesting thing, because a lot of people mistake me for military. I wasn't in the military, in any branch, but I guess it's just something about the way I hold myself. I take it as a compliment when people say it, but they mistake me for being a military man. The guy that I'm talking about, that I'm bringing on my team, was a Marine, is a Marine. Mm. I guess once you are, you always are. And that's the type of person I kind of gravitate towards. Something about our personalities really click, you know, because we kind of get each other. And I don't really know why that is, but it's just something about the way I'm wired.
Yeah. Well, Tim was in the Army.
Most people would not know that I spent 8 years in the military. I was in Desert Storm, and I sometimes kick myself in the ass for ever getting out because I was wired that way. But I had challenges that I wanted to achieve, and I couldn't do it in the Army. So, you know.
Well, thanks for sharing, Tim.
Yeah.
Very welcome. So, Matt, going back to starting in 2017, creating your business, getting your license, starting and building a base of clients through relationships with realtors.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly in 2021, your IG explodes. So there's some synergy with the growth of your company and your growth on social media. Talk to me and our audience about how important it was to grow that social media platform, because you knew it was going to help you long term for your clients.
If you haven't heard, Navien's new NPF hydro furnace is on the market, and they're offering an unbelievable incentive to try it. This new furnace from Navien is 97% AFUE ultra low NOx, and has an industry-leading variable capacity ranging from 15 to 100%. Right now, contractors can get a $1,000 gift card when they go to navienfurnace.com and submit their first NPF purchase info. Again, that's a $1,000 gift card. NPF purchases must be made between January 22nd and April 15th, 2024. And submitted through the form at navienfurnace.com by April 20th, 2024. See full promotion details at navienfurnace.com. Don't miss out on this great promotion.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure if I knew that at the time. I'm not real sure what I was going for whenever I was building it. I mean,
it's funny. If I could interrupt, Tim, I was just going to ask a similar question based off of that. Is you had mentioned in right after COVID that your social media exploded, like Tim said, yeah. But when you started social media, was it more for your business, or was it, and now has it transformed into doing other things outside of the business, but you know what I mean? Like repping other companies,
different audiences.
So the answer is yes. So when I started it, yeah, it was really just to build business. Just to build business and to create awareness for my home inspection company. It has, yes, become something else, right? One of the things, and a buddy of mine, Chris Murphy, that encouraged me to get on social media, one of the things that I kind of set out to do, there's kind of a reputation that maybe home inspectors have, right? And I thought, you know, I kind of want to change that a little bit, because I don't know, it just seems like there wasn't a whole lot of trust or transparency in what they did. Just like kind of this idea of a guy with a clipboard telling people that they can't move on with a job or something like that. You know, like, I don't know. It just
was. Well, I think some homeowners, maybe first time homeowners that go to buy a home for the first time, you know, they're like, oh shit, I got to spend this more money for some guy to walk through my house to tell me that everything looks good.
Yeah.
Because some building contractor I just spent thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to build didn't get it right the first time. So why does this have to happen? At the same time, you work. So I see where there's a lot of distrust there, and you're really trying to break down those barriers.
Right. So yeah, that's kind of where we were coming from. I think I just kind of wanted to change the face of the industry a little bit and bring some awareness to the industry. And at the time, I really didn't even know what that meant. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but I at least didn't really know what I was doing for the industry or, you know, exactly what was happening. Right. I was just making videos kind of not, and they weren't very good. I mean, they got better over time, but, I was just making stuff and putting it out there to try to, relate to realtors and to add some transparency to what I was doing. All of a sudden things did start to change. And when they did, like, now there's a whole, yes, I am working with companies. Yes, I represent some companies. And yes, I affiliate with some companies and even get paid by some companies. There's a whole different level of responsibility now. Okay. I mean, still, and now, even then, I wasn't, even though I was doing that, I was trying to raise all this awareness. I wasn't getting jobs from social media, really, not often, right? I would get them from going and meeting realtors or word of mouth. Now, all that happens still. But like a majority of my jobs generate from social media, because that's how people know me. Right. And so, but also I have all of these inspectors that follow me that kind of look up to me. Right. So
there's a responsibility you have.
Yeah. There's a total responsibility there. Right. And in like training them at being knowledgeable, but not just about home inspection, but also marketing and you know, how to grow your business and things. People ask me these kind of questions all the time. And then there's the representation of the industry still, right? Because now there's all kinds of inspectors online. I don't remember it being this way.
Right, right.
I mean, in 2018 or 19, whenever I started doing this, me and my buddy Chris Murphy and maybe a couple of others like scattered throughout the U.S. that I remembered seeing a little bit of content from, but not anything major. Now it seems like there is a ton of inspectors out there making content, and it seems like every one of them now want a tagline. It's really funny because it's like the game of taglines. Yeah. And it's kind of like, I don't know. I get to like shaking my head sometimes because it's like, that's not really what I was trying to do. You know? Like, I have a whole, it's not supposed to do that thing. It's funny, right? But that's once a week. Like, everything else is educational to some degree, or a display of the state of construction, or a display of what we do as home inspectors. And so, yeah, I feel like I need to represent that and represent that well, because I do see it out there. There's the stigma of the old inspector that I tried to break. Yeah. I feel like that was achieved. I feel like, I mean, I'm not saying I single-handedly did it, but I think me and some other folks achieved that for the most part. I think
awareness. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's there. I think that's, I mean, can it still be, you know, can we still work on that? Yeah, sure. But I think that we, overall, I think I'm proud of the way we worked on changing that. But now you've got all these other inspectors out there and everyone wants to be a social media star.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, not all of them are really need to even be recording what they're doing.
Yeah. Is there a, you know, talking about social media and home inspection, is there like an unwritten code of ethics that you will not photograph or, you know, just cover or video or anything like that?
Well, I mean, there's the obvious, like, you know, I try to, because I'm in people's houses a lot, right? I mean, most of the time, I'm doing a lot of new construction these days, but when I'm in somebody else's house, you know, I try to keep any type of personal information. If there's pictures of kids or whatever, you know, I definitely could keep all that out. I try not to get any house numbers or house streets or anything. I try to not let anybody know where I'm at. I put out
like if there's a meth lab in the basement.
I mean, there's not a whole lot of boundaries, but just to where I just try not to call anybody out personally, right? Whether it's personally like a person, or whether it's like a builder too. I mean, today was this one exception where I put out a reel today where the builder's name was very visible in it. And it was only visible because they installed the sheathing backwards. Okay. Cause if they didn't do that, backwards. You have no idea who they were.
Backwards.
Yeah. And so put it in backwards. And so you can see their name. But I mean, there was so much going on with this house. It was so bad that I
felt flashing.
Yeah. Like none. And they're already citing it. Like they've already cited it. And there was no flashing. And it was just so bad that I felt like it just had to be, I had to put it out there. I sat on it. I filmed that about 2 months ago. I usually, when I do a pre-drywall inspection, if I have a piece of material, I will wait until it's finished to release that. I mean, all that information it was all in my buyer's report. You know, they got that information. They worked with the builder. But before the internet gets a chance to have an opinion on it, I try to wait until it's at least past like the final stage and put it out there when, you know, it won't be controversial. Yeah. This one, I haven't gotten the final inspection on, but I put it out there anyway, just because I felt like it was the right time. And it was just so bad.
Yeah.
Well, for those that have never seen It's Not Supposed to Do That, your episodes, they're awesome.
Thank you.
I'm curious, in the years that you've been doing them, has there been one or two that stood out for stupidity, or a couple that maybe you were just like, holy shit, that scares the hell out of me?
You know, the only things that really I ever, you know, I feel like have scared me in terms of like safety, it's either gas leaks or disconnected like furnace or water heater flues, like in the attic or even in the house. Mm. Those things are pretty, pretty crazy. And I mean, the gas leaks, people do get freaked out about that. So I did a recent It's Not Supposed to Do That. And I put this in there, but there's actually a longer video where I'm going to include it as well. But I was in an attic at a furnace, and I went to the gas line. The gas was shut off, actually, but I was able to unscrew the flex line by hand. Now, why is this important? It's because this was an 11-month warranty inspection. There were two furnaces, one upstairs, one downstairs. The people living there, I had done the original inspection, but when I did it, there was no gas. And so I didn't get to check the gas fired appliances.
Right. Right.
And so and I didn't get to check for gas leaks or anything like that. Right. And so they had me come back a year later. And when I went up in the attic, well, the downstairs furnace was working just fine. The upstairs furnace wasn't working at all. So I go up in the attic. I looked, the gas was off. I told the homeowner, I said, hey, the gas is off the upstairs furnace. They're like, really? We didn't even know. Somehow they'd gone through the entire winter, and just the heat rose from downstairs, and they never noticed that the furnace upstairs didn't do anything.
Hmm.
And I said, well, I mean, you want me to test it, right? So I need to turn it back on. And I said, yeah, please. And so I go to turn it on, but I thought, before I turn it on, just let me check it out. And I went to that and twisted those little flex lines, and it was completely loose. If I'd have turned it on, gas would have been spilling out everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, you know, stuff like that, like, stands out. I don't know, man. There's so many clips now. I'm going to tell you one of the funniest ones to me. It's always the silly stuff. It always gets people whenever, like, I grab something and it falls apart. That's usually a good eye opener, like a good way to open one of those videos. But one of my favorite ones ever is whenever they put the door stop on, but they get it just moved over just enough to where when I open the door, it doesn't hit it at all. Yeah. I love that one. I love that. I love slamming doors. Some people get I mean, it's like very few people, but some people think I'm like aggressive with it, man. I don't hurt anything when I'm doing these. Yeah. But I do make it seem kind of aggressive for the show, you know?
So, I mean, I'm just listening to you. I've seen your page. I'm a little jealous. I feel like you have the coolest job. Do you feel like you have the coolest job?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like my job. I enjoy my job. Listen, what you see online definitely makes it look a lot cooler than it actually is. I mean, the truth of the matter is like, okay, earlier today I did a 4,000 square foot house that was 96. So like a 30-year-old.
Yep.
Almost 4,000 square foot house, with the pool, everything. Look, man, it took me like 6 hours, you know? There were 3 attic spaces, 3 furnaces. You know, I had to climb a ladder in the attic to get to the water heater. I mean, like, you know, it's a lot of work. And at the end of the day, like, it's not even hot right now. It was like 75.
Wow, that's true. I didn't think about that.
No, but I mean, like, yeah, it's good. It's going to be over 100, you know, and I'm going to be doing the same stuff. I was 3 hours in before I was done with the outside of the house. I mean, granted, I had to pop in and out for a couple of things, but it's work. I mean, I'm on my feet all day long.
Yeah.
But I do really like it, though. Yeah. I really like my job. I really like helping people. I like finding these things that they had no idea to even look for. I do feel like there is not enough people that are working hard enough to find this stuff. I hear from people that, you know, oh, we're so disappointed in our inspector. He missed this, this, and this. I could go on and on. I went to a house just after that 4,000 square foot one today just to inspect the roof because they had an inspector come out, the new construction house. They had an inspector come out and he didn't have any means to inspect the roof. The ladder wasn't tall enough. He couldn't see it. And so he just didn't do it. I guess he didn't have a drone. I don't know. And so I inspected the roof. I got on the lower sections. I put a drone up on the roof. There was hardly anything going on the roof. But when I was wrapping up, I wasn't there very long, you know, it was just the roof. But as I was walking away, I was walking out of the back patio and there was a post-tension cable sticking out of the foundation about 16 inches. Jeez. These things are supposed to be cut and sealed with concrete. They never cut it. And it's just sticking out of the grass, like a rusted piece of metal, you know, yeah, connected to the house. And I'm like, hey, did your inspector find this? And she goes, find what? She had no idea what it was. And I'm just like, God, so there's people out there that are not finding this kind of stuff. Yeah.
You know,
they're not looking.
We bought a house, the previous house we lived in, we had an inspection done and there was a few things that were found and the homeowners that were selling it weren't really happy, but listen, they found this like powdery stuff in a closet and he thought it might've been like black mold or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we had it tested and it was like laundry detergent. But wouldn't you want to know though, like, what if it was mold, right? Like yeah, you got to do your due diligence on these things.
Well, I mean, to answer your question, like it is hard work. What you see online is definitely the more glamorous stuff. I try to make it look as good as possible. Do I think it's a cool job? Yeah. Do I like my job? Yeah. Do I get to do some cool stuff, see some cool stuff? Absolutely. But more than anything, man, yeah, I just want to help people understand what they are about to purchase. I feel like I'm good at it. And I feel like people really need to know that stuff because the fact of the matter is most people don't know anything about homes. Nothing. I mean, you know, you guys probably pretty handy, you know, and most of the people that I know, you know, they are. But I mean, like, I know people that don't know how to operate a hammer. I know people that don't know how to hang a picture. You know, there's people that just don't work that way.
A hammer. Isn't it the back of a screwdriver? Isn't that your hammer? A back of a screwdriver?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. the channel locks. You just,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, that's the thing. So they're probably really good at something else, but they just don't know anything at all about the home that they're about to purchase. The biggest purchase of their life. And they know nothing about it. And they're not going to unless somebody goes there and tells them.
Matt, you see some of the best in home buildings. You see some of the worst in home building. If you had a silver bullet, and maybe this isn't a fair question, but I'll ask anyway. If you had a silver bullet, what would you tell contractors and tradespeople out there more than just attention to detail? What more can they be following? And
learn?
The biggest thing that we're missing is pride and care. Mm-hmm. You know, people are not building things and assembling systems like they're going in their house. People are not taking the pride and care like they are putting it together for a family member or their mom.
I mean, you know, like when we say like builder grade or, you know, things like, you know, just passing code. I mean, you've got to see stuff like that, right? Like it's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
are you talking about just like production builds where they're just kind of barely getting by?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of them. Okay. I mean, because sometimes it comes down to manufacturers' installation instructions, people, and it's not always just code, you know? Like, as a matter of fact, code doesn't matter when it comes to manufacturers' installation instructions. Yeah. So they can be like, well, it meets code. It's like, yeah, but the manufacturer says don't do this. So code doesn't even matter. Yeah, there's a lot of builders. I mean, especially as quick as they're slamming them up around here in some of the lower end builds, that they are doing just enough to get by. And the code can be a little bit difficult to understand, a little bit. It varies. I mean, you guys know Glenn Mathewson? Mm-mm. Okay, he's like a code historian and just like the guy that knows the code book more than anybody else. And that guy can draw lines from one piece of code to another one and tell you how they're related and how you have options in the code. It's funny because when he paints that picture, it's like, oh, well, okay. Like, it's not so restricting. Like, I have all these options, but the fact of the matter is you have all these options.
Yeah.
And like, it makes it a little bit blurry. And then you've got plumbing code versus electric or versus, you know, international building code and electric code versus international building code and all of that stuff. They don't always agree with each other. And so, yeah, I see people doing just enough to get by and not giving any care or concern or attention to detail. I mean, like the other day I was doing an inspection and someone was talking about how the door was crooked in the frame. And I was like, I mean, I don't know what you want from these people. Like the whole house is crooked. Like it's not square. Like it's not square. That the door seals. It doesn't get stuck. It locks.
Yeah.
It doesn't have daylight coming through. It's, yeah. And I mean, like, I'm sorry, but that's about as good as you're going to be able to get from these people. And while it's all relative, right? Because it doesn't matter how much money you actually spend on the house. It's about how much money you make, you know? And so it's all a lot of money. And so you deserve better quality. But I mean, you go and you look at, you know, some other builders, like in other parts of the country or some high performance builders or like awesome framers, you know, those guys are making sure that every single board is plumb and straight and level. And, you know, I was talking to, was it Aaron Miller that was talking about how long? No. It was my buddy. Actually, I'm going to see him tomorrow. His name's Kevin McGuire. He's a builder out here. And he was talking about how long he lets, you know, this framing set before he puts drywall up. Because if you just start slapping it up when it's still wet, you're going to get cracks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, he makes it a point to make sure it's at a certain level of moisture content before he starts doing that. That is not happening in production builds. It's not happening. I mean, it is everything they can do to wait until I leave to start putting up drywall. And so, you know, I went in and did a pre, I posted this recently. There were some people so mad about it. I did a pre-drywall inspection. I actually filmed it months ago, but did a pre-drywall inspection. And as I was walking out, the insulator guys showed up. They started slapping up insulation. And it's like, nothing says we don't give a shit about this inspector's report. Like, we're just going to go ahead and start covering up everything he just called out before we even got the report. And so that's what, I put that up and that irritated the hell out of people. But yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff, man, pay attention, have some care. And, yeah, and it needs to go from the top all the way down.
All right. I must ask.
Ask.
Before we jumped on, you showed us what you were drinking. we're whiskey and bourbon guys. Besides what you're drinking, give me one or two of your must-have whiskeys or bourbons.
Okay, let's see here. As I look over at my shelf, I mean, take it how you want, but there's not a time you're going to find my liquor cabinet without Wild Turkey 101. This is the best pour for the money and the best bourbon for a cocktail, in my opinion.
Okay, so my buddy has been trying to get me to get Wild Turkey Rare Breed, it's called.
Never had it.
It's no. Okay. Is Go it with the 101. It's cheaper.
Okay. 101.
Better and cheaper.
I just, for me, I feel like if I'm going to get, you know, in a price range of Rare Breed, and I've never had it, so I don't know, but there are other things I'd rather have. Woodford Reserve, standard Woodford Reserve, is almost always in my cabinet, too. One of my favorites all around. Take notes. Now that it's back available, I'm really enjoying having Buffalo Trace around too. And it's very inexpensive. Yeah. And then Smoke Wagon. Smoke Wagon's one of my absolute faves.
I love Smoke Wagon. Which one do you have?
I have got the unfiltered, the uncut unfiltered. I have got small batch. Mm-hmm. I have got just their standard, bourbon. And then I've got one that you can totally have, or anybody listening can have, called Uncut the Younger. I don't want it. I had it. I bought two or three bottles the second it came out, and I didn't like it. I don't know. Maybe I should open up another one. Maybe it changed.
Give it another shot.
I'm a big rye guy, so I like the rye as well.
Mm-hmm. I got that one too.
Yeah, the rye's not too bad.
Yeah. I think I sent you the. Did I send you a picture when I went on the vacation last week? I bought Larceny.
Yep, that's a good standard Heaven Hill product.
Yeah.
Heaven Hill makes a really good 7-year bottle and bond.
Their bottle and bond is one of your go-tos. The bottle and bond Heaven Hill is a go-to. I've got a bottle downstairs.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, right on. I feel like we could talk.
We could.
About three more hours.
Especially at night when we're having a cocktail.
I have a bottle of bourbon and a bottle of rye on my desk, so I could sit here all night.
I know, but for the sake of the listeners, we try to get it 30 minutes to 45 minutes. So we'd love to have you back on, though.
Right on, man.
This is great stuff. And I will tell you, we met you, like we said, at the Builder Show, kind of stumbling around late night after our 7 vodka Red Bulls.
I'm pretty deep in, too, man. Me and Keith were running around.
And we met you. I've had you on the IG Live once. We had a conversation about, you were so kind to like just give me tips on, you know, how to increase viewership on the IG Live and the page. You didn't have to do that, man. And you just, I feel like I don't know you very well, but just, I can sense that you're a good dude. You have a great page. If you're not following Matt on Instagram, texas.edge.inspect. And if you're not on Instagram, shame on you, man. You gotta get an account and start following these people. But no, I just appreciate your time. You make time for me and for Tim and for Mike when we did the IG Live. I just appreciate you, man. I really do.
Man, I love doing this stuff. I appreciate you guys having me on.
This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane, it's the energy for everyone.